You made me cry. Oh, thank you. I'm really glad you did that. I know it was a lot of extra work. So I'm going to read today first from Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. So we go right from Malachi to Matthew. See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years. This is the reading from Malachi. I'm going to give you an aside. I just learned this week. You know that song Hark the Herald Angels Sing? And then we got Son of Righteousness. And we all go like, what's that about? It's from Malachi. Son of Righteousness, it's a description of Jesus or the Messiah. I never knew that. I always wondered, why are we singing that in Hark the Herald Angels Sing? I'm going to turn now to Luke, the third chapter, and yes, as promised, John the Baptist. In the 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Licinius the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Aren't you glad I didn't ask you to read that? So John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of our Lord, make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. May God add God's blessing to it. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, would you rather hear the good news first or the bad news first?
Bad news.
You know what? I'm with you. And that's what John does. My hunch is that the rest of us have also been asked that question. And we know how William answers it, but I guess you all decide how you would like to answer it, because, the truth is, I also often begin with bad news. I eventually get to the good news, and pay attention. Usually when I call us to confession, and notice I said call us to confession and not you to confession. I call us to confession. I invite us to name before God our sin, first publicly as we pray together in the bulletin, and then silently we're to name our own particular sin. But as I call us to worship and to confess, I usually say, hey, God promises to forgive us. Trust that good news. So it's safe to tell God the truth about ourselves, and then when we've told God the truth, I as a pastor of the Word of God, I tell us all we are forgiven. Advent is a time for truth-telling, because we are preparing the way for our Lord. Yes, we're preparing again to go to the manger and see baby Jesus. Yet these readings about John the Baptist calling the people out in the wilderness to repentance remind us that the adult Jesus is about to be on the scene. And John's preparing them for Jesus to come into their midst. The church calendar begins the year with John speaking out. And he's calling us to remember that Jesus not only came 2,000 years ago, but that Jesus is going to come again. And really, it's not until the fourth Sunday of Advent that we begin to hear again about baby Jesus. I heard one of the people coming to church a little early and listening to the kids sing the Christmas carol saying, oh, that's not supposed to happen yet. Well, I'm glad they're practicing. I'm glad they're singing next week. Meeting John the Baptist in the wilderness challenged the people of his day. And his words are intended to challenge us. Luke is very particular in naming the time. Tiberius was emperor, Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea, and so on. Let me put it into today's context. In the days of the holy messenger speaking out along the Black River, when Donald Trump was president and Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, and Mark Dayton, the governor of Minnesota, I had to look that up, when Wayne Hendrickson was chairman of the county board of supervisors, when Kerry Parker had just been installed as the executive minister of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, and Franz Reichert was the Wisconsin Conference Minister of the United Church, this holy messenger came to be among us in our wilderness. Luke is telling us, as he names the leadership of his time, just what day it is. When we say that Scott Walker is governor and Kerry Parker, executive minister, who was installed last week, we're saying today, not 6 weeks ago, not 6 weeks into the future. We're saying today. And I say that the messenger is speaking to us who live alongside the Black River. John is calling for the people to be baptized. And I think that's good news of that good news, bad news, good news scenario we're about to hear. When I try to explain to the little kids what baptism is, I boil it down to God loves you and we love God. So, good news. Come out into the wilderness to be baptized. You're loved. Hard news. This baptism is a baptism of repentance. I chose the Bible that the confirmation class uses partly based on how they translate the word repentance. Repentance, that Bible translates for us, says showing that we are changing our hearts and lives. No question about that. You know, you may not know what repent means, but you know what changing our hearts and lives means. This baptism of repentance is for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, I prefer to move from the good news to the good news. Yeah, William, I'd rather not have the bad news at all. So I prefer to move from the good news to the good news rather quickly, and at least one of our church members has called me out on that. I don't like to linger too long over repentance. We like hearing grace, God's grace, and the love of God much more than we are wanting to show that our hearts and lives need to be changed. We're fortunate this year. The children's program, as I said, is next week, and I'm not going to be saying a whole lot about John the Baptist next week when he calls us a brood of vipers. Yet I do think we need to hear again this year, bear fruits of repentance. Even though John the Baptist gives us some good news from the holy messenger Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, I'm not sure if God alone is going to fill the valleys and make the mountains low and the crooked paths straight and the rough places smooth, or if we're supposed to be part of that construction work. My guess is that God is expecting us to help work on these highways and reconstruct the world according to the ways God wants and hopes for. So, how do we do that in this day and age? We show signs that our hearts and lives are changed. We make ourselves vulnerable before God, and we confess our sin. The sins where we have not loved God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and where we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Remember how Luke names the rulers of the age? In the writings of Luke, John, Jesus, and Paul are all going to confront those very leaders that were just named. The leaders, the rulers of the nations, and the religious rulers. Because the gospel they proclaimed and the lives they lived, these men found themselves standing and dying before Herod, who ordered John's head on a platter. Pilate, who handed Jesus over to be crucified. And Paul, who went to Rome, where he also was martyred. Now, I doubt that most of us listening today have the power to confront the powers that be. But some of us listening today might. We might have some ins. And I still have hope that when we speak together to the powers that be, that we will be heard. But now, let's get local. That's what Jesus spent most of his days teaching and living. How to be local. Repent.
Let's repent of our sins, the sins committed in our homes, in our community, in our church, at school, and in the places where we work, where we golf and play cards, where we gather with friends, and even when we are alone at home. Let's work on changing our hearts and lives this Advent season. Let's do our devotions. In some way, let's find a way to be quiet in the presence of God and Jesus Christ. With God, without Jesus, without God, without some higher power, alcoholics and drug addicts know they are not going to change. What makes the rest of us who confess to be Christians believe we are going to change without spending some time with our Lord? So let's do the devotions. Read scripture, pray, take time to breathe in God's love and confess our sin. Yes, daily. I know it's hard to find time. I know how quickly we can jump into the day and get so overwhelmed that by the time the day ends, we are ready to fall into bed, exhausted, too exhausted even for 10 minutes with our Lord. I know when I think, well, tomorrow I'll get to it. Tomorrow I will sit down. The day again becomes too full. So maybe if the morning is too busy, take time at lunch. Close the office door. Go outside, if that works. And talk with Jesus as you walk around the block. If we're going to bear fruit that bears repentance, we're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. No Bible, you say, at work? Well, hey, guess what? No Bible when you're on your walk? No excuses anymore. You know that phone that's in your hip pocket, in your purse, in your hand all the time? It's got a Bible in it. Really? Doesn't take a whole lot to download an app. And then, with God's help, we can begin to take small steps to change our hearts and lives. Maybe it's changing the way we talk about others, the in-laws and the outlaws, the co-workers and the classmates, the card players or the folks we don't want to include. Maybe the step we need to take, because the steps we need to take are particular to each of us. I don't know what your steps are, and you don't know what my steps are. Well, maybe you do. But we all have our own steps to take. Maybe the step is to let go of a resentment or a fear or some worry. Or maybe the step we need to take is to make a phone call or drop a few bucks into a kettle or an offering plate. Or maybe we need to let go of some of what we bought as Costco's or Christopher Banks or Menards and give to others who have greater needs than what we do. I don't know what you need to do to repent. Truth is, when I don't spend some time with Jesus, I don't know what I need to do to repent. Or maybe it's just that I don't pay attention to what I need to do to repent. Without Jesus, I live my life like all the other people around me, rather than as one of his followers. Repent. Make those rough places smooth. John, Isaiah, Malachi, the holy messengers tell us. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. Now that's good news. We will be saved. We will know the mercy of God. We are forgiven. The power of death will no longer have power over our lives. Yes, there is salvation for all who repent. We do need to prepare for the coming of our Savior in Bethlehem, and any day now that Jesus might come back. We need to listen to John and Isaiah and Malachi, those holy messengers. My friends, the truth is, you and I, we're holy messengers too. The way we live our lives, the words we speak, the way we show the fruits of our repentance do send a message into the world. May our messages be holy messages that prepare the world and us for the coming of Jesus. Amen. Well, the good news is that we're going to sing this song in English. The bad news is you don't know it. The good news is it's really fun to sing. Hopefully not so fast. Sing it again, right?
Yeah.
Please be seated. Let's pray. Good news is you get to sit down. Let's have that quiet time with our Lord. Breathe in the breath of God, my friends. Sit up straight. Feet on the floor. Breathe in the breath and the love of God into your spirits deep within. And exhale into the world the love of God. Baby coos. Hear it. Jesus is coming into the world, baby. Go ahead, Theo. Baby cries. Breathe in the breath of God. Breathe in that cooing love of God. Exhale into the world that love. Jesus came as an adult, showed us what we are to be about, taught us. Let us breathe in his teachings. Whatever one comes to mind this day, and promise to exhale it into the world. Friends, Jesus is coming again. For you, for me, for the world. He comes to save the world. Breathe in. Prepare yourself, our world. Make the crooked ways straight, the rough places smooth. Make the hills and the valleys one. God, come. Come to be among us. Come to be in a world that is struggling so hard to be followers of Jesus. Help us, dear God. Help us to help one another on this path of Christianity. Help us to support one another, to love one another, walk faithfully ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.